Previously, on Unnecessary Side Project.
Matt told us his racy old email address.
And Joe learned how to use the internet.
Hi, I'm David Axelrod.
And I'm Pablo Escobar.
And welcome to Unnecessary Side Project. How are you, Matthew?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
So nice to see you. So much time has elapsed between our previous episode and this one.
Yep.
That my heart has grown much fonder because of our separation.
Mine has shrunk 3 sizes.
Oh, dear. That's a problem. That's a medical problem. You should see a doctor.
Yep.
Well, it's episode 5, I believe it is now.
I'm not sure.
We've made it. It's a half decade. 95 more and we can become syndicated. I think that's how that works. You need 100 episodes. Well, that's TV. It was a joke, is what I was getting at here.
Pretty much on TV.
Pretty much,
except
yeah.
Free internet radio service.
Yeah.
It's downloadable internet radio
service. One step below television. But we're here to talk about a wide range of topics. And this week we thought we would talk about interesting hobbies or things you were into as a kid. Maybe some embarrassing stuff. We're being a little bit nostalgic this episode. And then also maybe where you saw your life going. Where maybe something fell short or you thought you'd be super into something and then you were not.
Mm.
So I'll put it out there right at the start. I used to collect stamps. And now I'll let you continue and you can start and we can come back to me.
I want to learn more about this.
You want to learn more about stamps? The art of philately? You want to learn about it?
That's actually the word for it?
Yes, I was a philatelist.
Philatelist.
Yes, I used to collect stamps, many stamps.
So I presume they retain value, but you restore them a certain way.
Yes. Well, see, a lot of people don't know that you can take stamps off of an envelope that's already been used.
Oh.
You can't reuse it, which is why they use the postmark, but you can take it off of an envelope.
You can't do.
Well, if the postmark isn't very visible, you could probably reuse it because essentially the glue is still retained at that point. But yeah, I used to be way into collecting stamps. I still have several binders of stamps that are sitting in my attic, and I used to collect old ones, I used to collect new ones. The year that I really got into it, there was a series of stamps of Canadian superheroes, so Captain Canuck was in there, Johnny Canuck, there were two Canuck-named superheroes, a Quebec superhero named Fleur-de-Lis. I'm forgetting a few more, but Superman was in there as well because he was created by Joe Shuster, who I believe is from Toronto originally. But yeah, that was sort of the year I got into it. And Canada Post used to offer a free service where you could get, it was called the Kids Stamp Club or something like that. And they would send you every month this huge envelope filled with information about upcoming stamps and like cool facts about stamps. I was part of that club for quite some time and I used to order stuff through it. I think, you know, unless you asked to get off that mailing list, they just kept sending it to you. So past a certain point, I stopped collecting stamps, but I was still getting this in the mail. And, you know, you're in your tween early teens and you think it's dumb, but then it came back around to, oh, I can't believe I was still getting this. And it was kind of neat. But then one day I received a very solemn letter from Canada Post saying that they were now charging for the service and anyone who would like to continue would have to pay. And I did not. So I no longer receive those emails.
There you go.
Yeah. But it was very exciting. I quite enjoyed it. There's a lot of countries. It's a very Joe heavy podcast right off the start, but I'm glad that you're letting me get into this. A lot of countries try and lay claim to things on their stamps that have nothing to do with them. So, you know, you'll have an island. I think Madagascar was a
great film.
Yes, definitely. Madagascar 2, Madagascar 3, all three of them. Great. Should have got the Oscar. But they, I believe it's Madagascar, but it's some island nation that would put out these stamp sets, but with, you know, the U.S. landing on the moon, or Elvis Presley. Things that are so heavily rooted in Americana, but it would be on a stamp for, you know, a tiny micro
nation.
Okay, but we semi-lay claim to Superman, although really not because everything happened in the States.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't really the state. I guess it was the States, but cities don't really exist. So.
Yeah, it's Metropolis, and people say that that Gotham City is based off of Chicago, and Metropolis is a mix between New York City and Toronto, which I don't believe. It's New York City.
Yeah.
But, one of the creators was originally from Canada. It's like when we say the Canadians invented basketball. Like, yes, Naismith, because Joe Namath is the former football player, invented basketball, but he had been living in the States for, pretty much his entire life and invented it in the States, but just because he was originally from Canada. Same with Alexander Graham Bell, although I guess he lived in Canada at that time, but he was of Scottish descent. So,
yeah. The
world's a crazy place, but that's a little bit about me off the top.
I wonder two things. Number one, I wonder what it is about collecting that is so popular. I think it's with adults too, but especially with kids. Think about Pokemon. I was never into Pokemon. That's pretty much based on collecting.
You just tapped into another one.
We'll get to that later. But I remember like sticker albums and baseball cards and everything you could think of. Like, I remember Batman. I used to get these stickers when the movies came out.
Mm-hmm.
It was always about collecting, which obviously just drives the economy because we're parents to buy all this crap.
Yeah, totally.
But like Legos, if you buy Legos and you look at the back of the box and you see all the other things that are out there, you have to get them all.
You can't just
have one piece. I wonder what is it about children that need to have that collecting? Like, why does that matter?
I don't know
if it's maybe trying to latch on to something. Like, at that point in your life, you don't really have any of your own opinions, or like you haven't been around the block enough that you don't really know how to operate in society. So you see something that allows you to actively be involved in it through the act of collecting, and it's just an easy way to do it. And so,
The other thing I wanted to mention was, I find it so weird how, to go back to the countries claiming things that aren't really theirs, I always wonder why we celebrate things like that. Like, oh, a Canadian invented basketball, for example.
Right.
Like, did that somehow legitimize us as a country that this guy invented basketball?
Well,
like, those Canadian historical moments are they good?
Yes.
But when they touch on something that relates to Canadian history in a really relevant way, like Laura Secord or the last spike, and the Chinese immigrants having a huge impact in building the railroad in the country,
right?
That kind of stuff is like, okay, it's a history lesson. But when it's like, oh, we invented basketball, good for you, who cares? Like, why does that matter? We invented the toaster oven, who cares? Like, why does that matter?
Well, I think for Canada specifically, we have a huge inferiority complex because we're not quite British. We're not quite the U.S., and both of them have such... People are going to jump on this by saying that the U.S. has culture. I'm sure I can hear the internet commenters frothing at the mouth right now. But
our huge fan base.
All nine of you. They have such a defined culture and such a big output into the world that we just need to grasp at straws to show, hey, we're here also, and we have done some cool stuff.
But all the countries do it. Like, when you have the Olympics, they have the opening ceremonies, and they have to show, like, all these cool things their country did. But it doesn't really... I find that so weird, grasping at some kind of attempt to prove that you're relevant.
Yeah. I love the Olympic opening ceremony because, regardless of summer or winter, when Bermuda comes out, they're wearing shorts.
Yep.
As if we're going to forget that Bermuda shorts came from Bermuda. But, I mean, put on some pants. You're in Sochi. Yes, it's a resort town in Russia, but it's still cold. There's snow on the ground.
Well, that's like Canadians, though. We wear Mountie hats, like imitation Mountie uniforms, or have, like, beaver canoe sweaters.
I guess.
In case you guys forgot where beavers grow.
We're in a lab. The biggest beaver-growing lab is in Canada.
They're all like that. I don't know. I find that whole thing, I guess, stereotypes. But.
Yeah. So now I put my heart on my sleeve, and now you're trying to just go into the theory behind collection.
So my mom is very crafty.
Right.
So I had a bunch of weird things I learned how to do when I was a kid. Like, I learned how to knit, learned how to cross stitch, all kinds of other kinds of things you would typically associate with a young woman in the, like, 1800s.
Right.
But I wouldn't say any of those are my hobbies.
Yeah.
Lots of things. I definitely, as you know, get really into things.
Yes.
And then kind of abandon them.
Both of us have very addictive personalities and very short-term memories.
This podcast finishes at podcast 6 and we're just done with this.
Yeah, we did it. 6 in the bank and then we're done.
A weird thing that we did when I was a kid, I guess, was I collected trains, like the little HO scale or N scale trains.
Yeah.
And so I go with my brother and my dad. We'd go to all the hobby stores. And we never, I can't say we ever really got that much into it in terms of my own set. Like we had this huge, amazing set or anything like that.
Right.
We would go to the hobby shows that happen at the convention center and check out all the cool displays that were out. That's probably a nerdy one that would be out there that I could point out.
Yeah, I was also into trains. I had a lot of like short-lived hobbies, and trains was one of them.
I think trains comes back to collecting too, though, right?
So yeah.
We do to collect.
For sure. Well, I mean, I was given the initial train set by my grandfather. And then, because I have video of me as a kid in Winnipeg getting it and then setting it up in the living room. But then, yeah, I set up, my dad bought an old ping pong table off of the out of the classifieds, and set it up in the basement, and I put like a grass mat over top of it, and that's where I had my train set for years. And I never really, like, I'd buy models and stuff and think that I'm going to do it. And there's still a big drawer filled with stuff in my parents' basement of all my train stuff. And I'm sure some of it still works, but I just was never, I was never precise enough to do, like, the scale model stuff, like painting and gluing. And I was just butterfingers, so I would drop stuff and then it would stop working. So I was very into it for a short period of time and then realized that maybe this isn't for me.
That's actually a good one you pointed out, was models. I used to buy a lot of models, like model airplanes, model cars. Okay, yeah. That's common. Does everyone do that with their kids, I guess?
I think so. I mean, yeah, like the little, I had a bunch.
Terrible smelling glue and like a wrap of little bottles of paint.
That stuff is so good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's a common thing. It's, I mean, you and I did it, but we're not the youth of the nation anymore.
Well, 100% of people in this room have done it. So
that's true. Yeah, that's,
you know, that model glue is so corrosive. My brother and I tried making a raft once out of pieces of styrofoam and popsicle sticks.
Yeah,
and we glued it all together. We built this like superstructure of popsicle sticks, and then we finally attached it to this big piece of styrofoam. And it would actually melt the styrofoam. It would
really
through it, so you couldn't figure out why it was a stick.
It's funny you bring up melting styrofoam, because I was just thinking about this the other day. When the Game Boy Advance first came out, one of the big complaints that was not addressed was that it didn't have a backlight. You could only get an attachment to put a light on the front. So playing in the dark was difficult because, for whatever. So there were tutorials online on to how to add your own backlight into it. And all of them involved taking a styrofoam cup and like putting it in a bowl and then adding something to it, which melted the styrofoam, which then you could use to like shape to like make essentially new plastic to put something in.
Yeah.
But so many people did it, and it became like an epidemic that people were just destroying their Game Boys. So they'd get this Game Boy Advance, like, oh, I'm going to add the backlight, and then just fry it. They'd kill it completely. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
your Game Boy in a bonfire until it's nice and soft.
Exactly.
And bend a light onto it.
Yeah, well, it's like, what was it? A few years back, 4chan said that the new iPhone
was waterproof,
or that, you know, if it got wet, you could recharge it by putting in the microwave.
Yeah.
So lots of, you know, they started at Twitter.
Do people really do that, or are they just like, do they fake it and then they say it was a thing? They're so full of themselves.
Yeah, I don't know. That's an area of the web that I'd rather not
anger
or get involved with, because it's just, yeah, I mean, the whole point is that everyone is anonymous on there, more or less. So, I mean, you can't really prove anything, but yeah, that's a weird, like a dark corner of the internet.
Yeah, I saw a whole conversation about like the dark side of the internet, and I wonder if, I don't think 4chan is that. I mean, it's dark because it's just full of like,
yeah,
kinds of terrible stuff. But I don't think it's really, I think it's where people like us, like average office workers, go to let off steam and probably make inappropriate jokes, stuff like that.
Yeah, there's,
and they have some technical skills, so that then every once in a while they'll go like hack a website or something like that. But I feel like maybe at its core, there are people there who might know what's going on and can really do some damage, but I don't think that they really have that much power. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure they have tons of power, and there's no reason that they should ever think that they can would need to get involved with us, because we're in reverence of them. But
yeah.
there are different boards on 4chan, and I think some are worse than others, and some are more anonymous crazy than others.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's not like the deep web. We had a conversation with a coworker about the deep web, who is just terrified of it.
Yeah.
All those hidden sites.
There was murders there or something like that.
You can hire a contract killer over the internet. And I mean, there is some truth to that stuff. There was the Silk Road, which was supposedly this website where you could buy drugs online, and that got busted. But whether anyone actually received drugs from it is, I think that's a point. Like that's a point of contention. People don't know whether it actually happened or whether it was just a huge scam. They said, "Oh, this thing exists where you can buy drugs," and then they would just take your money. And then, like, what recourse do you have? You call a police officer and say, "Hey, I just used my credit card to pay $500 for some heroin online, and I didn't receive it." I mean, like, what are they going to do? Yeah. Nothing. So,
I also wonder, because we talked about conspiracy theories a few episodes ago. One of my conspiracy theories, I think, that you can easily make a case for would be Bitcoin is a substantial threat to the modern financial system.
Yeah.
So this Silk Road was supposedly easily financed, or all the transactions were anonymous through Bitcoin. So let's break let's destroy this whole thing and basically blame this currency for what was going on.
Right.
Whether or not anything was going on, or whether or not the currency was anyway at fault, I think, were two things that were clearly used to make the thing seem less stable, seem less. I mean, I don't know anything about Bitcoin other than what I've heard. I don't own any.
Yeah.
I don't know anything. I'm not for or against it, but it seemed pretty convenient that, like, oh, look.
Yeah.
All these drugs are being sold, as if drugs aren't sold in, like, regular currency all the time.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Yeah, I feel like we're going down a rabbit hole that we should probably address in an episode that's more about. Our next conspiracy theory podcast, we'll talk about Bitcoin and the destabilization of the market.
Fair enough.
But you mentioned Pokemon cards, and I have a few stories regarding that. So I was quite into Pokemon cards when I was younger. I loved the show. I loved collecting the cards. And there was a store downtown that sold the cards, and it was the only place that you could get them. And for that brief, prior to the Pokemon craze and after the Pokemon craze, it was just the place where the weird kids hung out because they were playing Dungeons and Dragons or like tabletop games or Magic the Gathering, because it was like a card shop. But Pokemon came, and then they carried it because it was a card game, and then it just blew up. So year, 2 year period, that was a hip hop and happening place in downtown St. Catharines. That's the cool lingo, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there were kids in there all the time just going to buy Pokemon cards, and they had to put a limit on the amount you could buy. So you could only come in and buy one package of cards at a time per day. And I went in there one time, and I was going to buy myself a package, and I was buying a friend one for his birthday. And the guy behind the counter was so strict. He's like, "You cannot do this." And then I went back to the car and had to get my mom to come in, because she was waiting for me in the car, to come in and buy the second set of cards for my friend for his birthday. It's not really an interesting story, but
why were they like not allowing people to buy more cards? What do they care?
Well, I think what was happening is the backlash from them not having cards was so bad that they limited the amount you could buy, so that some, you know, 25-year-old couldn't come in with all this disposable income, buy up all the Pokemon cards, and then create like a secondary market where they're selling it.
Sounds like communism to me right there.
Well, I mean, you could
sell
be
Pokemon cards, whoever has the most money.
All right, Ayn Rand. Yeah. Jeez.
Atlas
drugs.
Yeah. The free market dictates that we should have allowed. Yeah, it was.
I honestly, until you just told me the story, I don't think I even knew that Pokemon were cards. I thought it was just a video game.
Oh, really?
I knew nothing about these.
Oh, things. Man. It was huge. And I only played one tournament, and it was because my friend, who was also into cards, actually knew how to play the game, gave me one of his decks that he had put together, and we went to go play. And I just liked the idea of collecting the cards, but he gave me his deck. We sort of went over the basic rules and we entered in a contest. I lost in the first round to a kid probably half my age.
Yeah.
But then I was done, so I just left and got a pizza and then just sat in the room where everyone else was playing and ate an entire pizza in front of them. And they were all, they wanted that pizza so bad. But
so when you lose it, do you lose your deck? Is that how that works? Like Pogs, or if you...
That's a good question. I don't know if they're... I wasn't familiar enough with the game to know. It might not have... I'm sure there may have been like a four keeps version of it, but I didn't lose any of his cards. Right. I know that. But yeah, so that, yeah, I was into it really, you know, I collected it a lot, and a lot of my disposable income went to buying Pokemon cards.
When you were buying stamps.
Yes, exactly. Those are my two loves. But I knew I had a problem with Pokemon cards when one day I was probably in grade 6 or 7. I was out at recess and someone told me, oh, so-and-so wants to trade Pokemon cards. You should go do it. It's like, oh, yeah, I'll go do that. And went, and I'd never heard this kid's name before. And I went and I was trading Pokemon cards with a grade 2. I was, you know, 4 or 5 years older than this kid, and I was trading Pokemon cards. And as soon as I finished the... I still went through with the transaction. Yeah, I traded cards with this kid. But as soon as I was done, I thought, okay. Yeah, exactly. If he's dumb enough to give me his cards, I'm going to take it from a grade 2. But as soon as it was done...
There's a kid in grade... Who was that kid from grade 2 hosting a podcast talking about the day he stopped believing in, like, in humanity. And it was when this grade 5-year-old...
Yeah,
Pokemon cards.
So I hung up my skates after that one. I was done, and we had a garage sale shortly thereafter where my parents said, if you have stuff that you want to get rid of, you can sell it, you can keep the money. So I sold my binder of Pokemon cards for way less money than I should have, but I was just wanted to get rid of it. And part of me wishes I still had it because it would just be kind of neat to have some record of that section of my life, you know. So I've got a son, I've got a little boy, and it's like, this is something that daddy was into, as lame as it is, but you know, everybody does lame stuff their entire life. But yeah, it's gone. My prized possession was they had like hologram cards where the background was foil, and I had a Clefairy, and it was one of the more rare cards, and I had that, and I was quite proud of it.
I remember I had a bunch of comic books that were given to me that were old, like really old, like the 60s. And my mom gave them to some guy at work. He's like, oh, you mentioned you want these comic books. And I was old enough to not want them anymore, but too young to realize this guy was definitely just selling these things later.
Yeah.
And I feel like out there somewhere, there's some guy just sitting on a pile of money from your Pokemon cards.
I hope, I wish him well. I hope he sold them before the bubble burst.
Yeah.
Because... all those people who held on to their Beanie Babies thinking that would be their retirement.
That's going to come back.
Yeah, probably.
I got a basement full of Beanie Babies. It says it's coming back.
You got all the tags on them still?
I love watching parenting through your experiences because right now you have, he's very young, so he plays with baby toys.
Yes.
But I'm going to watch the day when you've just invested hundreds of your hard-earned dollars into some silly game that your son, that is like a complete fad. Like my dad bought me literally 1,000 Pogs once.
Oh my goodness.
It was like some... outlet place he got. I don't think they were legit Pogs. They were like some fake.
They weren't legit Pogs.
And then, I'm within a month, I'm sure that fad was over. He probably said, well, that was a waste of my money.
Yeah.
Stupid discs that do nothing. So I'm sure your mom watched you sell that at that garage sale and like dropped a single tear down her cheek, wanting all that money back.
I'm sorry, Mom. But they're gone. They're gone now. It's been too long. We should move on.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? I completely forget.
So I don't have any other, I have all kinds of things I could say that are embarrassing about me as a child. I mean, I did dancing. I did, families into gardening, like fishing, but I don't think I had a lot of hobbies as a young person. I always thought you're supposed to have hobbies because I guess people have them.
Yeah.
You see it on TV, but that's not really like Tim the Toolman Taylor's always building a car in his garage.
Right.
We all kind of, I always felt like I needed something to be my hobby, but I don't think I ever really had one. We sort of collected things here and there, but my family similarly collected a lot of stuff. But one thing I noticed, people who collect a lot of things, especially people who are older, they never seem to be satisfied by the actual collection they already have. It's always the next thing.
Yes.
I think that's maybe just a reflection of how our economy works, but it's just, I don't know. I find that interesting because I don't know. If you weren't even competing with those Pokemon cards, it begs the question, like, why did you need them?
Yeah, no, it makes total sense. And it's trying to latch onto something. And I can understand, you know, if you have sort of a personality that needs to collect, you know, if you have a need to have something and it's part of a collection, like, you're never going to be happy until you have it all. But then at that point, you need to start collecting something else. Yeah. Because I think it's just the act of the collection more than anything that is what drives you.
I think the same thing goes for people who are interested in athletics. They need to get that new, you know, whatever, carbon fiber hockey stick or new right. whatever, pair of skates. But that isn't necessarily, when you're, you know, a 14-year-old playing hockey, it's unlikely you're going to see a huge difference in your skates if you buy the highest end brand new version of whatever Bauer skates or the 1 year model later.
Oh yeah.
Everyone needs the newest model.
Yeah. At what point did you and I sort of turn the corner where we stopped caring about brands? Because I remember as an elementary school student, as a high school student, you had to have Nike shoes or Adidas shoes. You had to be wearing, you know, Umbro shorts. You know, it was just like, that's how you saw yourself in the pecking order of classmates, is by what you were wearing. But then past a certain, like, is it when you go to university, you stop caring about
I've had this conversation with my girlfriend a lot. To be honest with you, I turned that corner very young because we just couldn't afford any of that stuff.
Yeah.
So I became that guy who was too cool to care about brands.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't afford Nike shoes.
Yeah. Well, in retrospect, that's probably healthier, to be honest. But
yeah, but now I'm just a cynical jerk about everything, right?
Well, yeah, but now we have a podcast. It's an outlet. Get your cynicism out here.
There you go, yeah. Oh, I think now, like, as a defense mechanism, I stopped caring about everything to do with fashion which probably isn't healthy either. You probably need to dress yourself in the morning.
But yeah.
There you go. You won, honey. You won this round.
Congratulations.
Definitely, if I reflect on people around me, it seemed around like between grade 10 and 12, people started to have that turning of a corner where it's like, oh, only sellouts buy brands.
Yeah.
And now, like, everyone around me at work or in my personal life, everyone's buying, you know, Louis Vuitton bags and Gucci purses, whatever. And I look around and say, I think we've reverted back to like middle school, grade 9 mode.
Yeah. Like, my high school, we wore uniforms. So, I mean, during the week, you know, everybody was wearing the same thing, but it was still, you know, if they saw you on weekends and you weren't wearing that stuff, or on an out of uniform day, you had to wear the cool brands and stuff. And it was just, it's so strange. It's like, what makes this t-shirt better than any other t-shirt? What if, you know, my shoes have two stripes or four stripes? What does it matter?
Yeah.
They're still, I don't know. But I think anytime you try and put yourself as an adult into the mind of a child, you're just going to go insane.
I think, well, to be honest with you, I think some people get over some aspects of being competitive or, you know, looking at the Johnsons down the street and seeing how you compare. But I think a lot of people don't. They just change the stakes of the game. So now it isn't what stripes on your shoe, it's what emblems on your car, or how much money do you make at your job. And then it just escalates up. It seems like a more mature thing,
I guess.
But it really doesn't. Like, why not buy a Hyundai instead of a Lexus? Like, if you can afford a Lexus, you'll buy one, right?
It's Hyundai.
Hyundai, oh, sorry.
So if you could say that correctly from now on, that would be great.
If you're going to see Leonardo DiCaprio driving down the street in a Hyundai, right?
It's true.
Yeah, he'll probably be driving a Prius, but you get the idea. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. But yes, I had many hobbies, bringing it all back.
Yeah.
I had many different things that I dabbled in briefly. One thing I'd like to touch on is, it seemed like every school had their progression of fads. So, you know, you'd start with one thing and then it would become some other thing. So at my school, it started with marbles. After marbles was Pogs. After Pogs, and for those of you who don't know what Pogs are, they're essentially little tiny cutouts of cardboard, essentially. And you had the cardboard ones, and then you had your slammers, or what, there were a bunch of different names for them, but they were either plastic or metal. And the point was, you stacked all of these little cardboard circles on top of each other, and you hit it with the slammer, and then anything that was face up you kept, and anything that was face down the other person kept. But usually you just play for fun, but if you played for keepsies, you're going to be losing a lot of pogs.
To be fair, our audience consists of at this point, your wife, who I'm sure knows what pogs are.
Well,
and a bunch of people in Southeast Asia who have been forced to follow this podcast.
Yes.
Who probably made pogs in the first place.
Well, no, pogs are made in Canada.
Wow.
Yeah.
My no-name ones, my dad.
Okay, yes. Yes, that's true. Well, I'm sorry that I've tried to put content into the podcast, but yes, it was marbles, pogs, Pokemon cards. Pogs came back, and that's all I remember. But every single one of those would arrive and would be banned by the school, and then sort of like a shady market would appear where kids would on the sly try and play with these things or sell them to kids, and then they would disappear completely because everyone would give up. Did you have the same sort of experience?
Yeah. Pogs was we had marbles very briefly.
Yeah,
pogs became a thing, and then after pogs, there really wasn't a follow up fad. There was a couple little blips. I don't know if it were these sticks. They were two sticks.
Devil sticks.
Yeah, was around for like a minute. Yo-yos became a thing in high school. Ironically, I think people did yo-yos just because of the irony for it. And those miniature skateboards. Remember those miniature skateboards?
I do. Yeah, I remember a couple people having those, but I did not partake.
Yeah. But that was like after that. I think a lot of people just got into sports or my high school because in Toronto I had a junior school, a middle school, and a high school. So it wasn't like the same people went all the way through. We get redivided.
Right.
So the opportunity to reinvent yourself, and then once you got to high school, all those kind of trends were gone, and it was down to like the people who played sport, the people who were interested in different areas. So. Yeah, pogs was, I would say, the biggest fad that came through that we were all interested in.
Yeah, those pogs were huge. They were everywhere for a long time. I remember you used to be able to, at Pizza Hut on Wednesdays when they had the kids' night or whatever, you could, if you bought a certain meal, you would get pogs. And then those were the hot pogs to have, except A, you went to Pizza Hut, which is awesome, and B, you had these like super elusive pogs.
Just to clarify for our listeners, Pizza Hut.
Oh, come on. Like,
it's a hut-shaped building.
No. It's okay. Is there anything sadder than a building that once was a Pizza Hut and a new company has moved in
and
is trying to pretend like they're not a Pizza Hut?
There was a Dairy Queen down the street from my dad's house that became a Dairy King. Is that
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It changed their logo to a square from that weird ellipse thing they have. Rather than that, it was just a square Dairy
King. Yeah. Well, there's a... where I live, there is a former Pizza Hut that has never been a Pizza Hut the entire time I've lived in the city, but is now a factory shoe outlet. But it is the Pizza Hut roof painted yellow.
That sucks.
But everyone know that was a Pizza Hut. You just look at it. I mean, Pizza Huts don't look like Pizza Huts anymore. But there was when Pizza Hut was first introduced till every fast food chain decided they tried to be a gourmet place. They had their roof, and you get spotted everywhere.
We're wrapping up here, but that probably something a little as sad is an old KFC that has the bucket on a stick in front of it that's now closed. So it's just this weathered bucket of chicken, hanging in the air.
There was a time when that bucket meant something, but
there used to be a bucket near my parents' house that rotated. I don't know if you've ever seen that before, but it actually spun. Yeah, that's
really.
That just screamed quality right there.
I liked the look of the old KFCs. That's another place that had a recognizable building. It was like an Alamo type building, white. And there's one in this city that used to be a KFC and now is like a veterinarian. But you drive by it and
those are just that far apart.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, they stopped. Bringing in cooked animals and just started bringing in live animals.
I'm willing to sacrifice the architecture of my fast food restaurant by adding Taco Bell to the KFC.
Oh, yes. That meeting of the minds is probably the greatest technological advance in the last 20 years.
Until this podcast began.
Exactly.
Yep.
Well, we're going to wrap it up. So thank you for letting me divulge all my affordable secrets.
No problem.
And we'll see you in a week.
Yeah, take care.
Bye.
Thank you for your patronage. We will see you next week.